Well, it's a beautiful day. I've been thinking, this is Pentecost Sunday, and for my pastor's thoughts and prayers, I just thought I would talk about Pentecost and some of the misconceptions about Pentecostals or, well, even Methodists. I had a seminary professor by the name of Fred Craddock, and he taught a evangelism class. And he was telling us a funny story that happened to him while he was out lecturing one time on the West Coast. He was speaking at a seminary. And one of the students stood up just as he was getting ready to speak. And he said, Professor, before you speak, I need to know if you're Pentecostal. The room kind of grew silent. And Dr. Craddock said he looked around for the dean, but he was nowhere to be found. And the student continued to quiz him right in front of everybody. Dr. Craddock was taken back. He said, well, do you mean, do I belong to a Pentecostal church? He said, no, sir. I mean, are you Pentecostal? Dr. Craddock said, are you asking me if I'm charismatic? No, sir. I'm asking you if you are Pentecostal. And he went on to say, well, what do you mean? Do you want to know if I speak in tongues? He said, no, I want to know if you're Pentecostal. Well, Dr. Craddock said, I don't know what your question is. And the student said, obviously you're not Pentecostal, and he left the meeting. So what are we talking about this day? Are you Pentecostal? Or is the church, to use the word Pentecost, only as a noun, or it can be used as an adjective? So I ask all of us, are you Pentecostal? We had a wonderful gospel sing Sunday night at the church. Travis, Eric, and Dave Oakes, they have a little group. I nicknamed them the Angel Band. You can find some of their music on the website. Phil had recorded some of it. It's really good. But anyhow, when we were gathering, somebody came to me and he said, do you know there's a lot of Pentecostals here tonight at that meeting? And I thought, yeah, praise be to God, you know. In fact, the church doesn't know what being Pentecostal means. As now we know it as a denomination, but it's not really. It's a word that is called Pentecostal. It's about the church that is alive in the world. It's Pentecostal. And you thought you were Methodist, right? No, we are Pentecostal. But how do we keep this aliveness, this fire burning and the spirit moving? I think what exists all around us, though, is that if we are to be Pentecostal, a couple little things need to happen. We are in one accord. That's what the Bible says. On the day of Pentecost, they were in one accord. We need to be in one accord, too, with Christ. It was a day that Christ had promised, even from the beginning of Resurrection Sunday. With the resurrection, he appeared at various intervals throughout that time period. And they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was the living Lord. Then, last week, we celebrated Ascension Sunday, and he went to heaven. And they waited in expectation, but he told them to go and wait. Now, how could they have possibly known that the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, was about to descend upon them in that room? The result would be what we call the birthday of the church. Pentecost became the primary fact of church history, where they all, including us, received God's power. Would you be surprised if I told you that there are several congregations around town that have a reputation, and well-deserved, I might add, of infighting always? Well, even our denomination right now, the one that we love, is infighting about different things. It's going to be an interesting annual conference. But perhaps being part of the history is that, and probably well-deserved, but we shouldn't do that because we're all one in Christ. Sometimes people love their ideas more than they love Jesus. And nothing takes place in the community if we expect great things to happen. Then we got to be in one accord, aren't you? Well, the other thing I want to talk about is that they were all joined together in prayer in Acts chapter 2. Did you know where the church is growing the fastest? Not in the United States. We know that. Korea, Africa, Latin America. And for years, there's been massive revivals taking place in these southern countries. It's a cornerstone of revival is prayer. So while it's true that churches are all together in one accord and they can accomplish much, we have lost our desire to dedicate ourselves to prayer, expecting the Holy Spirit to move in our presence and, more importantly, change lives. I found a poem that kind of sums it all up. Now, I don't know who wrote it. In fact, it says unknown author. But this is what it says. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier became each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak, and I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence, and I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided me. My child, you didn't knock. I woke up this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much accomplished that I had to take time to pray. Wow. You know, prayer is an important part. We need to be a praying church. We don't always have to agree on everything, but we got to be a praising. Well, that too, but a praying church. Because we've all been recipients of this great blessing that we call a personal relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. So back to the question, if we are, and we are, to be a Pentecostal church, we need to repent. If there's a moral crisis in the life of a person, what do? We ask, we got to repent and pray. If there's a moral crisis in the nation, we are asked to repent and pray. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. If there's a moral crisis in the life of the church needs to repent. You see, Pentecost is possibly only when sin is dealt out adequately. Think of Peter, our church's first leader. He understood this. In the very first sermon of the church, Peter reminded them of their egregious error. God was at work through Jesus, Peter proclaimed. But you handed him over and put him to death, nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead and exalted to the right hand of God the Father. And then he repeated the accusation one more time. Let all Israel be assured of this. God had made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So Peter takes up that whole thing in chapter 2. And the question then came, well, what should we do? His response was, repent. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, we have drifted so far away from Wesley's thoughts and prayers and teaching, or what we call Wesley theology. He preached more on the sermon text, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, than any other text. And it's a basic requirement for the entrance into the kingdom of God. But what is repentance, you might ask? First, these believers were simply saying, well, it's changing their mind, realizing our errors, accepting the one that was condemned and becoming one that once ridiculed, or receiving Christ for forgiveness of sin. All of that is repentance, and it's not changed. And it is by the act that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit today, this Pentecost Sunday. It's available to all of us, and all we got to do is ask. Through unity and prayer, repentance, we can harness the power of the living God through Christ. Are you Pentecostal? If you believe in Jesus, you are. Amen. Well, thank you for letting me just share my thoughts about Pentecost, but it's also a time we lift up prayers. And we do have a prayer request that came in by Jimbo Jackson. Most of you know he's been a school principal out here at Fort Bradenton and county commissioner, I think it was District 2. And he passed away yesterday or the day before, and I think his service is going to be held on Thursday. We're recording this on Wednesday, so by the time you listen to it, the service has already been done. But he was a wonderful family man, a good public servant, and they tell me that he just succumbed to some complications from COVID, which a lot of folks have, and he has fought the good fight of faith, and he's now safely home with the Lord. But we pray for the family, and we lift the family up, that God will give them the wisdom, the strength, and the ability to get through these things, because unless the Lord comes for us first, which I hope he does, and through what we call the rapture, we won't experience physical death. But if he delays or don't come right away, we're all going to have this thing called physical death. That's why we encourage one another. Well, there are a lot of other prayers that we can lift up, but the biggest prayer, I think, today as we close is the prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples that we can use as a model prayer for all of our prayers. And let's pray it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.